Welcome to the Bible class. We're continuing in our study of the book of Matthew. We're down to the last few chapters. We're in Matthew chapter 26, and we've read through verse 3 and begun some commentary on that. But let's go back to verse 1 of Matthew 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now that's reading through verse 5. This is also mirrored in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, and in Luke chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. This is where Jesus is making a final prediction of his death 2 days before the Passover, and the Passover was eaten on the evening of 14 Nisan. The prediction was made that on the 12th of the month, that would be April, as we would count the month, that on April 12th would be his crucifixion. The feast of the Passover was the first feast of the Jewish yearly calendar. It was kept in commemoration of the national deliverance from Egypt in Exodus under Moses, where the death angel came through and saw the blood on the lintels and the doorposts and passed over those that had the blood. Passover takes its name from the fact that the angel, the death angel, passed over the Hebrews that had the blood on the doorposts. That's in Exodus chapter 12. So Passover was a high holy time for the Jews, and many thousands of pilgrims would come to Jerusalem to observe the Passover meal. And the Passover meal, of course, was certainly symbolic of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which was slain from the foundation of the world. There in verses 2 through 5, Jesus also predicts his betrayal. The Son of Man was his favorite designation for himself, and he says he's going to be betrayed, which is paradigme. It's better translated delivered up or surrendered to or handed over. And so, yet he was betrayed, if you will. He was handed over to the leaders of the Jews. Now, the Sanhedrin is coming together here at the palace of Caiaphas. Caiaphas was a Sadducee, not a Pharisee, but a Sadducee. And so they came into the palace of the high priest, that is the courtyard of where he lived. And they had a Sadducee as high priest. He had been made high priest somewhere around AD 18. And so here the high priest is calling them all together for the Sanhedrin to meet. Now, when Caiaphas was put into place, it was shortly before Jesus' earthly ministry started, and Caiaphas then was a high priest for the entire time of the ministry of Jesus on the earth. Notice they were consulting to see how they might take Jesus. They wanted to do it quietly, they wanted to do it subtly, and they wanted to kill him. But verse 5 says that they were talking and saying among themselves, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people during the feast. And the reason it wasn't on the feast day, or they didn't want it on the feast day, was because there'd be an uproar. There would be many of Jesus' supporters from Galilee that would be in Jerusalem during the time of the Passover, and the leaders did not want to upset the crowd because the emotions are already high when they're celebrating this high holy day, high holy time. Oftentimes their emotions would run high on how they wanted to overthrow the Romans as well. So they didn't want to upset the crowd. Jesus died at the very moment, the very hour, of the slaying of the Passover lambs, and that was supposed to be so. That was the plan of God, because he was the Passover lamb for all mankind. He is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And so their plan was not, their plan was not to be fulfilled, but God's plan certainly was to be fulfilled. Verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever, or wheresoever, I should say, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Stopping there for just a moment. The memorial, that is the conversation in memory of the work that she's done, will be that this woman anointed Christ's body with this ointment, and it will give forth a sweet odor into the centuries to come. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Oh my, what a sad situation. What a corrupt individual was Judas Iscariot. He was the infamous apostle. Now there are two things, there's famous and there's infamous. Infamous is not infamous, it's infamous. But you get the idea, and what it means is they're famous, but for the wrong kind of things. They are famous in the negative. They are infamous. And that's what Judas was. The anointing of Christ at Bethany is mentioned in Mark chapter 14 and John chapter 12. It was related by John as taking place 6 days before the Passover, indicating the one version is topical and the other chronological. Neither Matthew nor Mark dates the event. Simon the leper is mentioned only here. He was the father of Lazarus, some say. If you see the parallel in Mark 14:3, you can see that. And you can also see it in John 12:1-8. Some say that he was the father of Lazarus. Some say he was the father of Lazarus, Mary, Martha, all of them. There's nothing to contradict that, but there's nothing to really put that in the case except for the scholars that have done the research They seem to think that it fits. She did it for my burial, said Christ. The action was appropriate in view of his burial yet to come. It was a symbolic or prophetic statement about the burial of Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is the gospel. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we see that Christ continued to proclaim what was going to happen. And so Judas Iscariot, then went to the high priest and made a deal and covenanted with them for 30 pieces of silver. He had a contract. They put a contract out on Jesus Christ, and the payment was 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. And that's exactly what they did. They counted out the money. It was a month's wages, the price of a common slave. It is the same as the words from Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. The same word that's used for the word, I will deliver, the word deliver, I will deliver him unto you, is the same word in the original that is said betray, to betray him. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him or deliver him. So you can use those words interchangeably. The word betray, of course, has with it some of the angst and some of the absolute depravity of the action of a person who has served with the Lord and served the Lord for 3.5 years or more, now turning him over to be crucified. Well, this infamous apostle, Judas Iscariot, will understand that he is always connected to the betrayal of Christ. The name Iscariot is uncertain. Some think that it means man of Kerioth, and that is in southern Palestine. And so he would then have been the only non-Galilean among the disciples. He would have been a misfit, to say the least. Why would Judas betray Christ? Just because he wasn't with the folks from Galilee? No, I don't think so. But some would say it was greed. Some would agree with those commentators who say that he was greedy to the point that that's why he spoke out against the anointing of Jesus' feet with spikenard by Mary. Judas said it should be given to the poor, but the rationale was that he was a thief. This is what we see in John chapter 12, verse 6. This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and took what was put therein. So he was a thief. As the treasurer, he would continue to steal from the 12. The second reason that Judas Iscariot could have been interested in betraying Christ would have been more the disillusionment, according to modern scholars anyway, the disillusionment that Judas had in Christ. He was disillusioned over the way that Christ's kingdom was headed. He wanted personal gain. He wanted political power. And he was disappointed that Christ said, the last shall be first, the first shall be last. If you want to be a leader in my kingdom, you will be coming to me as a child, and you'll be living as a child in complete faith. And so his disappointment became spite and revenge and evil beyond belief. Of course, Matthew in chapter 27, verses 3 through 7, and Luke in Acts 1:18 describe the events of Judas's death a little differently, they can be harmonized. One explanation is found in the principle that Luke records all events and acts of Judas, but Matthew distinguishes between what Judas did and what the priest did. Just as Judas bought the field only in that he paid for it, so he fell only in that he was thrown down upon the rocks after he'd hanged himself. It doesn't state that he jumped. Judas hanged himself and later was cut down and thrown into the rocky ravine. At least that's the explanation as you attempt to harmonize the two accounts of the death of Judas. We're a little ahead of ourselves, but yet it goes with the scripture that we're studying right now. So he sought opportunity to betray Christ. Verse 17, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that is the Feast of the Passover, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, Master, the Master, saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, and ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.